Okay. You are listening to the Power Ranger podcast with Kyle and Corey. We just finished up watching the first episode of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers series that debuted in 1993. And boy, what a blast.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was that was beyond phenomenal. So I guess we will start by saying that we are going to review each and every episode of one of our favorite TV shows, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Many good memories, I guess, involving the show. Many Christmases with toys.
A lot of Power Rangers.
Yeah, a lot of sitting in front of the TV, racing home to watch. Not easy to follow the series. Yeah, the toys
were awesome.
The toys were very, very memorable.
Yeah.
They bent it was something like 17 different joint bends. And
And then they would break, for sure.
Yeah, every time. especially when they're getting like whipped around.
Yeah.
But those were like really, really high quality action figures, we'll call them.
They were pretty good.
Toys. They're like really... they were no little mini 6-inch. Like, those were the good ones. So... I guess we will describe the episode. The episode today is Day of the Dumpster.
Perfect.
This was an absolutely awesome episode. It had some true lulls. So this episode is our intro to the Power Rangers. We see their, origins. We see where they all come from, what their interests are in a public venue. There's a catastrophic event, and then a battle that ensues, and we are left with a new team of earthly defenders, I suppose. So the first thing that happens is we see some astronauts finding...
Oh, this is great.
Yeah,
this is great.
Finding something out in the middle of nowhere on a distant... on the moon or on a distant planet.
That's hilarious.
And...
runs up and says, a giant space dumpster. Like, how would you know what a giant space dumpster is? And wouldn't you be more interested to see what it is?
Oh, look, a giant space dumpster. I had that in quotations as well. So they approach it, like, very, very, happily. They like, trounce over to it. I don't know what they do. They touch it, or they spin it, or they touch that gem. There's a big red gem in the middle of the space dumpster, which they recognize. So they touch it, and it explodes, or at least opens.
It shot open.
It at least opens.
Yeah.
And out come five different people. It contains five...
in a little dumpster?
Five humanoids, all looking very weird. One of them blue-faced, one of them an old woman. But we'll soon get to know these characters, of course. These are our main... antagonists?
Yes.
Protagonists. Shit, I'm going to have to look that one up. I'm going to have to remember what my agonists are. Antagonist is the bad guy. So there are space monsters, our creatures. They formerly ruled the universe, it seems. And an unknown force has locked them in a space dumpster. but now they're out. We're in trouble, I guess. So we cut back down to Earth. This is, I guess, the next sequence of the show. And what do we see once we get inside a local rec center? What do we see?
We see a bunch of mats, random karate, and randomly a balance beam through the middle of the gym.
I wrote balance beam? Question mark?
Yeah. Like
lawsuit! Exclamation mark.
It's in the most random spot of the gym.
Who's spotting? Who's coaching?
Yeah.
Doing like presumably front flips, back flips, like dangerous
sparring with no equipment.
I also wrote dangerous rec center.
Yeah.
That's one of my notes. And no equipment and sparring. There were spinning kicks being performed, like double spin kicks.
I'm expecting not to hit.
Zach was really letting them go, and Jason didn't seem to mind that they had no gloves and no shin guards and no headgear on. But they're that good though. They control their bodies well enough. So balance beam lawsuit, Bulk and Skull, they
Bulk
walk in.
Bulk and Skull. And right there. That's crazy.
They pretty much immediately attempt to sexually assault the two out of the two female Power Rangers. They walk in and demand dates.
That's how you do it.
As if, yeah, as if this is an ongoing issue that, like, they want it and they're gonna get it. I just was really horrified the moment that all started. These two small girls, like, trying to stop this, like, 300-pound, presumably, football player. Like, you wouldn't not, like, put him on your O-line. Like, you would, if you're a coach, you're recruiting this motherfucker.
Big, giant man.
And his skinny-ass friend, who chews gum all the time, pale-ass skull.
What's with him?
Yeah, he always had, I think he always has the camo, the army camo, and some sort of handkerchief on his neck. So, yeah, his attire is interesting, but that's not the important part.
But then they go to learn karate.
Yes, yes, okay,
in
so...
In the karate class.
So, yeah,
and he's still wearing the jean jacket over the gi.
After he's after these two are excused from the possible crime they've just committed of, like, harassing two poor ladies, they... I guess we, as an audience, are presented with a giant class of karate students, I guess. Or I don't know what discipline it is. I assume it's karate. A bunch of white belts. And then we assume our main character, Jason, is in charge. I believe it. He looks pretty good. Sparring was pretty good. And in the middle of some basic warm-up, he stops the entire class to single out his friend, a new member to the class, Billy... and begins to show him what I can only describe as an impossibly long combination, like a sequence that would take weeks to master, and just
clearly
saying,
not
check
for
this
a beginner.
Out, left, right, spin, kick, whatever else. I didn't pay attention, I was too busy writing these notes.
Prancing around.
and he's like, okay, I got it. Like, why would you take everyone's time to give a I'm gonna give a personal session here, I'm just gonna,
everybody
throw
stop.
Out some fucking help. So, yeah, and then, as you said, we have two people interrupt class, or what I thought they were interrupting, they're actually joining, Bulk and Skull.
Yeah, yeah.
So they come in, wearing...
the same clothes they had.
Yeah.
On top of a gi.
Yeah.
Like, a vest over top of the
white gi. White belt.
It. Why would you ever do that?
denim vest.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I don't know if the goal was to intimidate or to
I think just
show
so we
weakness.
Know who they
like,
are.
Like,
in the show. Like, just so we're like, okay, those two are the bad guys.
Yeah, fat guy and skinny.
Yeah.
That's not going to cut it.
Exactly.
We need denim and whatever. I didn't even notice. But probably army boots, pink army boots. He's probably wearing. Skull was likely
it's
wearing pink army boots.
Like, Ernest goes to jail. He goes into jail.
Yeah,
has the vest, anyways. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
All the time.
So Jason gives a personal, and then the class is broken up by...
an earthquake.
Yes.
A random earthquake.
Yes. And
what is that?
What I was busy writing down during the earthquake was that the ADR lines, like the lines that were brought in afterwards that they didn't think of or they didn't get clearly, were very present in this episode. Like, there's many times where... just someone had their back turned or a mask or they're inside a Zord or which will be introduced to soon.
Oh,
and they'll say something that's clearly there to help us, like, to mediate the situation. So where we would have said, I don't know what's going, like, why did no one explain that? Now we're going to get a line that helps. So there's an earthquake. No one else spills their drinks, but the owner of the rec center, who's carrying a tray of goddamn drinks, turns and dumps them on the one bully, the one big badass guy, Bulk, gets covered in drinks.
It's karma.
And in this, there's an ADR line. It's an apology. It's, oh, sorry for pouring drinks on you, Bulk, or something like that. Just to make sure we know that he's not a dick and just didn't dump that on him on purpose. So we had to make sure...
It was an accident.
Yeah, I mean, it was an accident. You and I know that. But they had to make sure we all know. Like they had to
stress the fact.
Yeah, they had to. They had to absolutely clarify.
The CG railing.
Yes. So
was it CG though? I don't know. I have no idea.
We actually paused it to take a look, and it. I don't think they would have wasted time on computer animation.
I don't think. They'd
but
be
there
able to
was
afford
a railing
it.
In the foreground that seemed to be there just to show what kind of shaking was going on.
It was really
and
odd.
It was vigorous, but it was moving at a speed. It was a golden railing, a looped railing that was moving so fast I couldn't tell if it was real or not. It's like when you take a pencil and you wobble it between your fingers. And it eventually looks like rubber.
I really couldn't tell.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. And then we're teleported. We are given predetermined colors. We as in
just
I mean,
randomly.
The Power Rangers. Randomly, based randomly. On what we're already wearing. Kimberly was wearing a pink outfit while doing her beam. Yoga by Trini in the yellow. Zach and Jason were sparring earlier. Black-skinned and black-uniformed Zach. And then red Jason. And newbie Billy, the nobody.
He's the brains, though, so it's okay.
Yes, which we haven't gotten a chance to see yet, but I'm sure we're going to get a chance to see. I recall him helping out during many a situation.
Oh, yeah.
So we get teleported back. Beams, like shitty CG beams of color, which I guess they are using CG, and are teleported. And this is after the quote by a new person that we're just being introduced to, which is Zordon, who turns out to be the leader of this vigilante protectors group. Like, I mean, can't we get the cops to come out? And by the way, this earthquake turns out to not be man. It turns out to be man-made. It's Rita Repulsa. It's the bad guy. You know who it is? It's the five schemers who escaped the trash can earlier in the episode. So, space dumpster. A bit of a spoiler alert. Rita Repulsa is the bad guy or girl for most of the series. She's the bad guy, and the rest are the henchmen. So she's flying around on a goddamn bicycle outside a window with Goldar chasing by. I don't know if that. Well, I know that's a.
Why
that's
she make him run?
A reference to the Wizard of Oz, but what a shitty reference! Like, what the hell, man? What kind of bullshit was that? Let's go back. We get teleported, and Zordon, before teleporting everyone to his hideout to give them superpowers, requests to his little slave robot, Alpha, quick.
What was up with him? 3CPO? Or, like, I don't get it. And why does he have a lightning bolt on his chest?
He looked like the trash, like, his head looked like the trash can
from Willow?
From Willow, thank you. Yes, I was about to say from Mad Mardigan. From Willow. Quick, get me five overbearing and over-emotional humans! Exclamation point.
Just any of them. Anyone.
And I don't know. I don't know if they were randomly chosen by Alpha, or if it was just like they chose Jason for being absolute necessary in this plan.
Alpha just
and then
ran
just the
out.
Four, yeah, like
I need five people. Like,
yeah,
I want to
get
was
like a telephone thing. Like everyone, like in the village, like passed it along. I guess they probably had cell phones at the time. I mean they're working with alien technology, maybe. Cell phones, right? So our five overbearing and over emotional humans. Five friends who happen to be at the same place at the same time and are randomly chosen get teleported to a hidden mountain base
it's not hidden.
No, yeah, it's a very obvious...
He makes them walk home.
Yeah, yes!
It's right beside the school, the rec center. You can see it.
He doesn't teleport them back.
No, they
he
walk back.
He does not teleport them back.
So it's very accessible. I don't get it.
So we're teleported in.
Is Zordon?
Yeah, you know what? Oh, I guess they turn him down. Okay, well, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
We're teleported in, and we're introduced to Kimberly's, I guess, biggest lines, I guess, to date. Like, earlier she defended the rape, but here she's giving her first couple statements, and I wrote down, Bimbo Kimberly is bimbo. Bimbo Kimberly is a bimbo. Because the writers just so obviously want us to know who, you know, a little bit about her. And I don't remember what was said, but she pretty much had her finger twisting gum, had the other finger twisting her hair, and said like about 15 times. And I'm someone who probably says like enough times too. But it couldn't have been more obvious that we're supposed to get it, that this little hot chick is a bimbo. She's a she's a fucking moron, okay?
She's definitely no Billy.
Okay? Yeah, I know. She's not,
she didn't have glasses.
No, but I guess maybe compatibility might lead them together later. I guess we'll find out later in the series. So Bimbo Kimberly's bimbo. Rita Repulsa riding a bike. I guess that happened a little bit after. I jumped to that early. But that was a little bit iffy, that little reference.
Well, I still don't get it.
And
they get teleported to Zordon's base, but no one's shocked at anything. They're just like, oh, cool. Like, this is really nice. Like, well, what is this? But, like, none of them are like, what is going
they're
on?
They're over it right away.
Yeah.
Like, they're over their shock. They're like this, okay, something's going on. I'm sure we're going to game. Like, this, like, is not, this is not another assault attempt. Yeah. So, Zordon takes about 10 days to explain the Zords, which apparently all of our new heroes are getting dinosaur powers. Randomly assigned to them. They are getting big, I guess, new rides. They're getting big-ass dinosaur transportation,
cars?
Like vehicles.
Dino cars?
Yeah, dino cars. It's Transformers. Yeah. It's a Transformers thing. So while Zordon's explaining everything we need to know ever about Zords, the whole Earth is being absolutely decimated, I assume. Like, wasn't the earthquake, because of Rita Repulsa and her henchmen? Why on God's green earth were we waiting,
the question is, how many people died in the earthquake?
Yes, that's exactly what I was wondering.
So many people died.
I assume the earthquake was actually from, maybe Rita biking around in the sky, like zapping people with her wand. Is it from her creatures? Like, whatever. She's causing something to cause it. So people are dying. There's impact happening somewhere. Someone's dying.
Yeah.
And we're calmly like, yeah, cool. Like like, we're bimboing it up. And trying to decide if we want special powers, us as in the Rangers, while millions of people like lose lives and homes and pets and family and lives are destroyed, while these rich kids from a fancy ass rec center, like a town that just gives away this beautiful, like, you know, you could be all that you want to be, man. Like this is a place where you can really aspire to be something and take the classes you want on a whims. Millions of people are dying. And I say, I write, obvious leader is obvious. Because the Power Rangers turned down... I guess I have to get to that. The Power Rangers turned down these abilities. They don't want these responsibilities.
Yeah.
Four of the Rangers walk away. And we are left with one. One Ranger. And it is our leader. The obvious leader is leader when he looks away and then looks back. Like, I don't know, guys. I think we should do this. You know what y'all mean? Like, I think we should do this. I think we should become Power Rangers, yo.
Why would you not want to be a Power Ranger?
I'm not really sure the motives behind not being the equivalent of Superman in this universe. But, their motivations are their motivations. They don't want to do it. So Zordon doesn't port him home. No cab. No.
They walked. So it was that close.
Yeah. Go home. Walk home. Rita's out to get you, but I need you to go away. To get away. Go on. Get out. Go on now. The Power Rangers are walking in a canyon, we are finally introduced to the Putty, which is the Foot Clan, right? I mean, of the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
They're bad
guys
in
unitards.
Yes. They're wearing like full body lycra, with putty masks, and they're wearing jock straps, by the way. I noticed big bulges in their crotchal area, and I couldn't help but look. I don't know.
Well,
like,
you wouldn't want a Power Ranger kicking you in the
this is strategy. Okay. This is exactly. Not like this, there's this dudes under business. There. Those are masks. And those are guys like
this is
who train nonstop. Yes. Oh, no, sorry, they don't train. These are guys who in a video game would be the guy that shows up 100,000 times, who just gets fucking massacred.
Stab him once and he's dead.
Yeah, you just like run through and just chop 50 of them in a row, and then you get to the guys who are important. These guys are made of shit. These guys are made of mold.
Right? Yeah.
And I don't remember. I don't think I heard his name yet, but our gray-haired, gray-faced, puppeteer kind of like...
I forget his name, but he's like the sculptor.
Imagineer, we'll call him.
So apparently he can just sculpt anything.
It appeared...
And put it through an easy bake oven.
Yeah.
That's basically what they're doing.
Yeah, that was a makeshift...
And I also have down here that why would Rita not just get more people to sculpt more monsters?
Yeah, she could have a whole like factory thing going through. Here.
She could kill Zordon in like 2 seconds.
She should have already invaded.
Bunch of monsters.
Where has she been between the time she got out of the dumpster?
She was in the dumpster.
Yeah, she was in the dumpster, but she's had now some time. So what I was getting at was it appears that this Imagineer takes turds and puts them into the mold. These are brown logs, and I don't want to get like too crude here. Like I want to move on quickly, but this it appears to be that he has harvested fecal matter and has placed this in an oven. is this true? Like what the hell am I looking at? These are
weird clay like substance, but didn't look like clay.
These putty men come out. Gray, like silver, shiny. That's one thing. They go into the oven brown, like poo brown.
Yeah, pretty dark.
we'll let the Imagineer go with that. So brown clay, gray soldier putties. Rita takes a look down to see how she's doing, and she has a goddamn crosshair in her telescope.
Oh my god.
She's looking down, and I'm thinking she's about to snipe.
I assumed she was gonna shoot her. But then...
Who is she staring at?
I think it was the girls.
One of the girls.
The two
Trini or Kimberly.
Yeah.
I pictured Jason, but she had a crosshair, and I just pictured like an exploding head,
I thought it was gonna happen.
And done. Like just one down, four to go. The rest of the series, like that's how we open. We open on a death of a female cast member. Maybe she had troubles with cast and crew. Maybe it was written in from the beginning for an emotional bump right off the bat. But either way, I was thinking someone was going down by sniper shot. I'm sad that we're probably not going to get to see any more sniper action from Rita Repulsa
but
in the future.
They come back, and it's a telescope.
Yes.
From another planet, or wherever they were.
Yes, wherever she gets them manufactured.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm already amazed that it wasn't a gun, but then it becomes a telescope that's HD. Like, unlimited zoom.
She got, like right down to every grain
from
of
other
hair.
Planets.
Stranded
how do you do
hair on these people's heads, man. Like, she was able to...
All you have to do is sell that technology at that time, and you would have been rich.
Yeah, and then she can just hire...
you would own the country.
Now we can get to something a little bit more... Something we can understand here. We're going to start, you know, getting some guns, getting some foot soldiers.
Yeah. Exactly.
Get those putties some legal ammunition, right? We're gonna invade.
Do it legally.
Now, let's apply, right? Yeah. So Rita Repulsa is gonna run an army, and presumably take over the world with her putties, who make a noise that I can't really describe. I wanted to write it down, but I just wrote putty noise. It sounds like a prepubescent boy being drowned in a swimming pool. like I don't know where they got it.
That is terrible.
Yeah, I'm aware. I'm just wondering why they had to do this.
I drown a poor boy. It does sound like that.
Yeah, and I mean, in the 90s too. I mean, we're talking 1993, probably production 1992. I mean, you know, they don't have this kind of technology. They probably can't save the recordings. They're probably going to have to drown a fresh boy every
they did this
every
one
putty
time.
Noise. Yeah,
they did this one time.
The putty noise, and I'm assuming they did it more times. I'm thinking that they killed the boy to get that putty noise, and they just lost the. You know, they just can't keep track of the audio, so they have to kill a child every time they get a putty to get an authentic Jaws kind of when. Oh no,
what?
I'm gonna forget his name.
Jaws.
Oh no. When he swims down, I'm just gonna say him before I wait too long to get the name. He swims down and we are revealed the one-eyed Ben Harper. Oh no, now I'm losing all the names. Ben Gardner's boat. Oh man.
Yeah, he finds a big tooth, right?
Yeah, so he finds a tooth.
And the dead person too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Ben Gardner, the dead person. Yeah. So he freaks out underwater and we hear the same So Richard Dreyfuss,
why wouldn't they just hire him?
Maybe they drown Richard Dreyfuss every single time.
Hold on.
Brought him back to life and did it again for every single time they needed that noise.
Why to death? He did that. He didn't die.
No, but they need a long recording. You're right. I mean, that was even further ago. They couldn't risk that. I mean, here they have the technology to bring this human being back to life. Why wouldn't they do it? So I'm thinking they drown Richard Dreyfuss in a swimming pool a couple times an episode just to get the authentic drowning sound. There's screams during transitions of scenes as well. I'm hearing, when we go to commercial break.
There's a big one. Goldar was talking to Rita.
Yeah, Rita Repulsa.
Yep. And he was talking to her, and she said nothing and just screamed.
Really? And
then it just like, cut scene.
Yeah, just one of those typical ADR. I also forgot to mention, Rita Repulsa does not speak. All this footage from the Power Rangers, and I'm sure we'll get more into this as the series goes along. I mean, every episode is just dubbed. This is all Asian footage. I'm assuming Japanese footage that they brought over and just repurposed, and it worked extremely well. It reinvigorated a whole franchise, and I guess recreated a franchise, and it spawned a whole new popularity series. But this was a completely different thing, and it just reminds me that when you notice the Pink Ranger has the pink skirt. And the Yellow Ranger doesn't have the pink skirt. The Yellow Ranger in Japan, or in the original series, was actually a male. Now, I'm not going to pretend to know everything about Power. I mean, I've read Wikipedia a few times. I've looked back into this. I haven't even watched the whole Mighty Morphin Power Rangers series. I'm not going to pretend to know about all the origins.
Yeah.
Except for these little facts, like the original Yellow Ranger was a male. So I wonder what the motivation, I guess, North American, we'll call them North American fans, they're just raging teenagers, man.
Raging boners.
Just they need to satisfy that teenage primal instinct with females, right? And they landed some fairly fit young ladies, and I'm sure they're happy with their choices. So screams during transitions.
Hold on. In the Megazord, when they're all sitting there and they start, yeah, we're gonna do this, and they move their hands, it makes a noise. Like they're moving so fast.
A whip noise.
But they're just moving their hand like up 4 inches.
Every single movement. And it was throughout the episode, but when they were all in close proximity, they were all doing it. So every hand had its own.
Yeah.
Just tons of whipping sound. Mine were getting a little bit bad.
That happened when they were fighting the putties. It was a different noise. It was like a clunk.
Yeah, and then they'll circle their arms out and give a little one-liner, and that's it for them. Back to the Power Rangers walking home, because we got a little ahead of ourselves. They're walking home. The putties attack because of the ship putties attack, rather.
Yeah.
And the Rangers are forced to defend themselves as their human as themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them martial arts trained. Some of them yoga experts. Some of them other experts. Athletes. Yeah. Some of them are absolute nerds who can't even straighten their glasses properly without hurting their arms. For now, yes. Putties actually attack our Rangers, and they start to get the best of them because the Rangers have not been able to use it. They haven't decided. I guess they still have their Transformer hand packs.
How did they do that?
Yeah.
We're not going to do this, and then they took the good stuff anyways.
And they got to keep it. I guess Zordon knew. He knew they were going to stick
it.
Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, we knew. We knew they were going to do another episode. Yeah, I mean.
If Jason says so, right?
If they walked home and just went to bed, that would really be a bummer, man. The whole series, I mean, pretty
just pick
much
up another
has to
five
stop
random
there.
People.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that easy.
Yeah, I actually like the idea of that. We'll go get
another one, for sure.
I want Junior. So, I have here breakdance fighting. Look, they're breakdance fighting. We have Zach. Everyone else is sort of just trying to defend them. They're getting attacked, like a gang attacked. And Zach busts out some goddamn Vanilla Ice, and, like, you hear this, like, boom, ba-doom, 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 like, 90s hip-hop. He breakdance attacks the Putties, who breakdance attack him back. I'm not sure if that's what I saw.
That's what people do these days.
They I guess you know, you mirror your attacker. They get in a breakdance fight, and dude doesn't use his basic... I mean, he has his own spin on martial arts, I'm sure, but he doesn't...
He's the trainer.
Yeah, he is one of the... He's training everybody else. Both of him and Jason are trainers. So Jason's using basic martial arts. Zach, however, yeah, is using some spin attacks on the ground. He gets whipped. Either way, all the Rangers get whipped into a pile on top of each other. Jason last. I'm assuming the actors got injured, because, I mean, that was some high-impact acting. And then it happens. It's time. The Power Rangers are about to become the Power Rangers. The five teens who are over-emotional way back when, a few minutes ago, when we met them, are ready to take on the world. They bust out their handheld little adapters with a coin in it. We'll get to that later, I'm sure. They bust out the handheld Transformers. Yeah. They make they announce their names and their dinosaur. I should know this. Yes, they're dinosaur. I mean, I was overthinking. But
how would you know? Did
Tyrannosaurus? Did they tell them sense. That? I don't...
To yell out your name in...
I might have to rewatch this. I might have to rewatch this episode already.
Okay, so Kimberly, when you go to do it, you're going to have to say your name, then your dinosaur, okay?
Okay.
Just make sure.
Okay.
Or it won't work.
So they transform. They absolute shit kick the Putties. The Putties, now we see what they really are. They were brought up to be...
Oh, they're terrible.
We were to assume that they were going to be a true challenge. Now for the rest of the series, guys, spoiler alert, the Putties... The Putties, they're not going to do shit. They're unfortunately weak. They are just a warm-up for the main course, which will be a new bad guy, a new boss, pretty much every episode.
Today's gets enlarged.
Yes, and it sticks to a formula, which we'll get to. Today's bad guy was main henchman Goldar, who is the blue-faced puppet man who carries a sword and has wings early in the series, but I do believe he gets them taken away early in the series, which could be this episode.
Yeah.
Could be what happens later in the episode. So the Putties are taken care of. We see Power Ranger weapons, which, again, get removed. Like, there's a lot of changes that happen throughout the series.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah, and the Power Ranger weapons... There's swords, there's daggers, there's a bow, there's a whole bunch of different weapons. They use them, they attack the Putties. We'll see those again later, briefly. But they get removed because they're kind of, I guess, I remember them selling those in the Walmart with the Transformer, like, handheld, I guess, belt buckle, whatever.
Yeah,
I remember them selling them, but...
They're adapters.
Early on, whatever I end up calling them. But I remember them selling the weapons, and it didn't last very long, so... I'm sure it was just selling weapons to kids is bad. I mean, you know, like, I'm sure they just moved away from their weapons. Whatever point, I guess they didn't really have a choice because it was already from the original series. The footage was already recorded. Yeah. We see the weapons. They're gone. The Putties are attacked and killed.
Oh, yeah.
Or they just disappear when you defeat them. Goldar with wings comes in.
But was he big the entire time?
No, he came in small at first and led some Putties in the city now. They just appear in the city.
Oh, yeah. He had to fly down.
Yes.
And once he hit the ground, they appeared.
Yes.
They out of thin air. That's how it's done.
And he commands, or at least he gets involved in the skirmish. Trini does a weird backflip that gets her... She does a backflip. Like, the footage is just a front flip in reverse. You can clearly see that. And then the Rangers get into their Zords. They realize that they need... Oh, no, hold on. They defeat the... the Putties and Goldar.
The Putties, yes.
And then Goldar grows. And he grows when Rita... As suggested to her by her helper friend,
the
Imagineer. Hey, Rita, you should throw your wand, you should make him grow, or what? I don't know. I ruined it.
Yeah.
And suggests to the person who clearly knows what she's doing, what to do next, which she agrees. It's time.
I've kind of
to go big.
She was going to turn around and kill that guy.
Yeah, she should have. Yeah, she should have eaten him, pooped him out. Put him in the oven.
Oh, yeah.
Made some more Putties.
Made him back up.
get the, yeah, himself. Let's get back into this
you
factory.
You kill him, and then you just make him again.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if they can actually remake any of the main henchmen. I wonder. That's something we'll have to look into. I'll get the our helpers on that, our volunteers. So Goldar's big. Our Power Rangers instinctively know to call their Zords, which are machine versions of their dinosaurs that represent each ranger.
They get
each
in the
of
cars
them,
first.
Yeah, right? so each one is its own Zord. They get under the Zord. They go. I don't think there's any battle before they come together immediately to form a Megazord. I think it's Megazord. I think that's the name. I'm going to have
Megazord
to do even more
that
research.
Shoots guns and it's a car still?
It's the man. Megazord is the large man. He has a sword too, I remember, as we had the large... I had the large toy. You had one too.
So what did they combine into? All their cars together.
All five
combined
of them combined into a giant robot man with a sword.
But did you see before that,
oh,
they combined?
That's
my
transformation, though. So
yes.
So it's like a seated version with the woolly mammoth head. I don't know. That looked like a pretty cool cannon. Well, they should have just made like
was
a tank.
Frieza?
Like that.
Only going 10%? And then you'll switch it up after
a while? Yeah, and then you have to reveal your true self.
Just go to 100%.
Well, I guess depending on the editing. Who knows? Either way, they're in Megazord form. They have a brief battle with Goldar.
Very brief.
Yes. I wrote down here... Billy pronounces that, the Zord backhands Goldar, sends him flying back, brutally injured, probably broken nose, I assume, shoulder popped out of place.
Oh, yeah, destroyed.
Billy immediately reacts to the rest of the group as, it barely hurt him! Like, what do we do? Like, I don't know what you think an injury, like, what you think progress is, but that was progress, bro. Like, you did a pretty good job.
It's not progress.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, you smoked him. He got dropped. I mean, do it again.
Billy's expecting a one shot.
Yeah. And that's also an ADR line. Everyone's using hand motions to tell us what they want. This is a classic Power Ranger structure where the episode starts human. And they lose, you know, they get overpowered by the bad guys. They turn to Ranger. They get overpowered by the bad guys. They go to Zord. Zord's undefeatable. And next step's profit. Win, celebrate, be good kids, whatever you're going to do.
Go back to the rec center.
Yes.
That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, they're going to go back there and they're going to presumably hang out there plenty throughout the series. We know they will. So Goldar is about to be defeated, and we may be about to lose a big, bad, cool-looking... You know, I had his toy. I requested the toy for Christmas when
Which toy?
Goldar.
Yeah.
I requested that. I like it. He's a cool guy.
Goldar's pretty cool.
He's a badass. in terms of Power Ranger... I guess in Power Ranger terms. So Goldar is about to be defeated. In the last minute, he bails. I mean, let's face it. The main bad guys, they're a bunch of pussies, man. Like they're a bunch of cowards.
Oh, yeah.
Every time they're about to be defeated, they don't take it like your everyday bad guy who just accepts defeat, gets beaten.
Oh yeah, they get hit, they get like an injury, and they're like, okay, I'm just gonna take off. I'll
minor
come back
scratch,
later. That's
right?
Cool.
Teleport away, you won't see the last.
This
of
doesn't
me.
Matter.
Gone.
I'll just attack you tomorrow.
So Goldar, the big battle, Goldar is defeated. He heads back to the moon where Rita is, I believe.
Is it on the moon?
I think
or is
so.
Is it another planet?
I think the moon. I think they're found on another planet, then
they
migrated to the moon. They're somewhere. They're on a solid. So they're back at their lab. Rita freaks out at Goldar, which again, I believe he loses his wings for this. They don't explain it very well. It takes a long time for them to explain it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Because I don't recall it.
We're gonna have to Wikipedia that.
Yeah.
And also I noticed it's the original Goldar voice too. They changed the voice to a much more rugged kind of voice, and here is a little bit more high pitched, I believe. And what we get is we get the bad guys lose, the good guys win, Goldar bails. It's your typical good first episode. We have the good guys showing everything. They show their origins, how they came together, which actually we don't know how they became friends. They're schoolmates. Yeah. And also, I noticed too that they're never supposed to escalate battle. That's what Zordon said. You never escalate battle unless Rita forces you.
I think so, but I think I also took a note on something else. Never use your powers for yourself.
Yeah, okay, so they had
like
the
that.
Three rules.
What was
but
that?
One of them...
But, like, if you want to save people, he's telling you not to.
No, I think what he means is
or not
I think
personal
what he says
use.
Is for personal gain. So I can't,
so,
like...
So, like, if I'm, like, wanting to go to the store or something, I can't just... turn into a Power Ranger.
Use the costume and just rob them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And she'd be like,
I was thinking more for like, I don't know, academic purposes. I don't know what I thought. Maybe martial arts. You just wear the suit and transform and compete. I don't know if they let you smoke the guy with those boots. We end with one more before the freeze frame and the our traditional Power Ranger noise. We end with one more moment, and it goes to our Pink Ranger friend Kimberly, who says something. I should have written it down. So stupid it fries Alpha.
Yeah.
Her humor.
She couldn't put her head in. Or it was uncomfortable to put her head in her mask because of her hair. So she didn't want to be a Power Ranger.
So
it fried him.
His circuits get scrambled. At the smoke. Mere thought of human denial. He even says human humor. Is that what he says? Earthly humor, something like that. He's shocked.
I forgot about that. Yeah. I think he did.
And then we get the song, we get the freeze frame, Bandai promotion, or whatever the case.
And that's it.
Yeah. First episode's done. So, it's in the books. Power Rangers, episode one, the dumpster babies, what was it again? The day of the dumpster. We've pretty much ran through the whole thing. Episode two, actually.
Food fight.
Which I can't wait to see. I remember that as a kid. I do believe there's a pig bag guy.
It seems like it.
If I recall. So this has been the Power Rangers podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook, are we doing?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah.
I got it all written down here. We got an email account too, but we're going to get Facebook and Twitter. We'll post that, announce it. We'll get you guys following us. So if you enjoy the Power Rangers as much as we do, you can follow us. We're going to be breaking down each and every episode, probably every other week, but just keep checking in. Have a good night, guys, and enjoy your podcast listening.